Welcome to Hero Hype, episode 4. If we were a superhero franchise, this would be the episode when we reboot everything and start over. So, in honor of that, we're shaking things up a little. I'm Marimo, I have Donya with me as always, and who's that third person you might hear? We have a third. We have a special guest, someone invited into the Hero Hype cave, as it were. We need a better name for our lair.
I like the lovely Hero Karen.
Hi, people.
Hi.
You like Hero Hype Cave?
I do, actually.
There we go. Karen is joining us to talk all about the craziness of the mid-season finales that we just were hit with last week and the week before. Before we get there, I just want to remind you, you can find us on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast. Make sure you follow us for lots of terrible jokes and things. I'm going to blame myself for the jokes and Donya for the informative posts. And you can find us on Tumblr, herohypepodcast.tumblr.com, and also email herohypepodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget, you can always rate and review us on iTunes. We really appreciate that, so other people can find us. Good times, guys. I don't even know where to start with this. This is too much. Karen, we asked you to come on because you obviously are a big superhero fan, but you've been watching all of these shows. Also, if I didn't give Donya someone to talk about Constantine with, she would actually get mad.
It's so true.
That was really the criteria. Karen, are you watching Gotham?
I am, and unlike you guys, I really love it.
Okay, so Gotham,
thank God.
Finale that we sort of left off our list because I don't watch it, and Donya kind of hates watching it, but she does it. Was it good, Karen? What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it aired, I don't know, a couple weeks ago now, and I don't really remember what happened, so that tells you a little bit about it. But I have to say that in general, I really do like the show. I think that it has a lot of potential.
Okay.
I just don't think it's living up to that potential. Basically, the mid-season slash winter finale for Gotham was just Selina and Bruce running around and Selina trying to kiss him. It was really... No, you go back and watch that episode. That is pretty much exactly what happened. That's it. And
all right.
I'm sorry. I'm like... Compared to like all of the other mid-season winter finales we got, I left it off the list because honestly, I completely forgot about it. I forgot it happened.
Well, that basically says it all.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about The Flash, something we can all get excited about. So the mid-season finale was focused on the reverse Flash storyline. We got the confrontation between the two. Did we like this? Was this a good time? I really enjoyed this. I'm really into The Flash. I know Donya is obsessed with The Flash. So
I love The Flash so
was
much.
Did this live up to your expectations?
I don't think it was as strong as the other mid-season and winter finales that we got, but I did still really enjoy it. I still think there's more to the reveal than we actually got. I don't think that's everything.
Oh, so. I'm 100% sure that's not everything.
Yeah.
Because that would be such a letdown.
Well, considering Grant Gustin was saying that the reveal was really, really shocking. The actual reveal was super shocking to him, and it was something he wasn't expecting and all of that. I think that kind of hype up means that this isn't the reveal he was thinking about. So... Mm-hmm.
I still prefer the Eddie theory, I have to say.
I don't really get that theory. Like, I had to have somebody explain it to me, like, why that was a thing. And I guess it makes sense because, he wasn't attacked or anything, but I don't know. I never would have put that together.
The answer to any question about theories on The Flash is time travel. That's the answer to all of them.
True.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I think there's... The way that we're going right now, there probably is going to be a bit of time travel involved anyway. I mean, the general consensus among people is that the whole way that this works is through time travel. Because
well, we've already seen some aspect of that in his little secret room, Wells's secret room with the newspaper headlines and et cetera, from the future.
Yeah. Yes. So something's going on there. Well, he also made a reference at one point that he was like waiting. He's been waiting a long time for this, for like the mm-hmm. Flash.
Yeah.
And it's like, the way that he said it made it sound like, no, he has literally been waiting forever for this moment.
Yeah.
So it makes me think that possibly he time traveled but got it wrong and ended up too far back.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think definitely in the confrontation, there's evidence that this isn't the first time that he has met the Flash, even though it's the first time the Flash has met him. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe slight miscalculation. I think the most interesting thing about this is if they're going fully for this time travel storyline, which it looks like they are, then that means time travel exists in the Arrow world as well, which is the most interesting thing, because they did the crossover and then they talked about it afterwards and said, well, hey, like, we've shown that metahumans work in Arrow. You know, we've proven that you can do this and people don't think it's crazy. So can we see more crossovers? You know, are they going to go fully for the Flash, knowing that it has to exist in the slightly more realistic world of Arrow as well? That's the most interesting to me.
There's been some talk about the fact that Ray Palmer might be eventually moving over to Flash when it becomes time for the Atom kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been some talk that he's not going to remain on Arrow for that. Like, I don't know if it's rumors or if it's where that's come from, because I can't remember exactly, but that's been a lot of the talk that I've seen around, is that that's the way it'll go. And to be honest, I wouldn't be disappointed with that, because Ray needs to.
Because then we'd be getting rid of Ray. Yeah, I would be all for that.
Same.
And this isn't to say that I don't like Ray and Ray's potential as a character. Like, his potential for a character for when he starts moving towards being the Atom.
I think that's more interesting.
That's really, really interesting. I just would rather him be doing that over on The Flash and away from Felicity, just throwing that out.
Yeah, I think we all agree on that one. All right, let's talk about Arrow, seeing as we're basically there already. Showdown between Oliver and Ra's al Ghul, and surprise, Oliver is dead.
This was my biggest oh my god moment from like all of the finales that we got.
Did you actually think he was going to win, though?
No, this is the thing. I didn't think he was going to win, and I think it was really, really clever the way they did it, just because it shows kind of how powerful Ra's is. So but it was still kind of, I thought he'd like get really badly injured and end up like crawling back somehow. And I was just like, oh, they're going there. Okay. But it kind of makes sense in that they're probably moving towards Lazarus Pit.
100% moving towards Lazarus Pit.
But twofold for me, I loved the Arrow mid-season finale and then I hated it. Now, I guess hate is a strong word. I was disappointed. And the reason I was disappointed was because of the reveal of who actually killed Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and this is really, it's really frustrating, because it made Sarah's death not be about her. And that was super annoying to me, because she was killed to further other people's plots and not based on her as a character and her own merit and something that specifically tied into her. And that was really annoying to me. Like, that cheapened it even more for me,
mm-hmm.
the death, which, you know, it didn't, it like, Arrow doesn't need to go there. It hasn't needed to go there so far. All the deaths have so far been very, very meaningful, and while furthering other people's plots, have still in their own right been kind of shocking, but at the same time, I don't know, they fit. They didn't feel right in terms of I wanted those characters dead, but they felt right in terms of the plot. Whereas Sarah's death came out of nowhere, just to make space to push Laurel in the direction of becoming Black Canary. And now we find out that Sarah's death wasn't even about her in the first place, so...
Yeah, and for me, it's not... Well, that is definitely a problem, but I had more of an issue with being Thea because they have gone to such lengths to establish this new agency for Thea as someone who can look after herself and depend as, like, on herself and everything. And I really liked that way. I've talked about this on Hero Hype before. I liked the way it was going with Merlin offering something new rather than just being like the big bad guy for no particular reason, just because he's a creep. And then suddenly, like, it's nothing to do with Thea. She's just a pawn in this game between these two dudes. And I was like screaming at the TV when I was watching this. Yeah. I had fury about that because it's so unnecessary. Like, it's so unnecessary. I understand they just wanted to set up this storyline, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I feel like they could have done it in a way that didn't impede so much on Thea's agency as a character and as a woman. And, yeah, I was super mad about that. So that needs a resolution, like, more than anything for me.
Yeah, definitely.
Karen, do you... tell us, Karen. Tell us your thoughts. Karen, let me ask you. Do you know what the Lazarus Pit is?
Yes, I had somebody explain it to me.
Okay. All right, so what did you think of the
And this
the
time
finale?
It wasn't me. It wasn't me explaining this to you this time.
I usually go to Danya for all my comic book questions.
As everyone does.
The Arrow was my favorite mid-season finale by far, and I think a lot of it had to do with that ending because it was so shocking, and at first I didn't know where the heck they were going to go with it, and now that we kind of have an idea, that's really exciting, and I'm excited to see how they use it. In terms of Sarah's death, though, and the reveal, I think that it makes it more tragic that it wasn't about her, that she was just kind of caught in the crossfire. She was one of my favorite characters, and I always really loved seeing her on the show, so I didn't want her gone or anything, but I think in a way it kind of just shows, like, there doesn't necessarily have to be a reason behind everything. Sometimes things just happen, and the fact that Thea did it, I totally get that it's sort of taking away her agency as this independent person who can take care of herself. But at the same time, I really hope that they use this as a way for her to maybe at some point soon get out from under her father, because he is going to keep manipulating her. And I think that if she comes to realize that, maybe this will be a really strong push for her to finally be somebody who's very independent and can take care of herself.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying about Sarah. I think with Thea, it just bothers me because we've spent, you know, two seasons essentially with her needing to be looked after by people. And now it's like happening again with Oliver having to sacrifice himself for her. And that's why it bothers me, because it's become a pattern on the show. And even though Flash and Arrow have done very well in terms of their representations of women, Danya and I have talked about this a lot, big fans of how they portray women on their shows, they haven't shown me that they can do the right thing with Thea's character yet. Like, similarly with Laurel. They haven't shown that they can do it. So, you know, when they pull things like this, it doesn't give me a lot of faith in where her storyline is going. The other thing about Arrow, I mean, so we've lost Oliver. Is there, the first thing I thought as soon as this finished was, okay, so now I know why they called it Arrow and not Green Arrow. Like, could we be seeing Red Arrow? Maybe that development while Oliver is, you know, in a pit somewhere.
I would love that. One of the first things I thought of was, I really hope that Roy can pick up the mantle for a little bit, you know, and I think it's going to be sad, but it could also be really hilarious because he's not Oliver, not even close. And I think it would be great to see him try to be the Arrow and just kind of like fall flat.
Well, I don't know. I think this season he's basically had his shit together, and although he's already very much like represented as a Red Arrow, not as Arsenal. Like, he uses obviously arrows. He doesn't use guns or anything. But maybe adopting that name in honor of Oliver or something.
Yeah, I Could mean, be. I'd like to see that, because we know the first three episodes back after the break are specifically Laurel and Black Canary centric, so we know that's happening. So there's also the possibility that what finally pushes Laurel to take up the Black Canary mantle is maybe Oliver being gone.
Yeah, so that could be sort of a parallel storyline. Lazarus Pit, for people who are not familiar with the DC comics, is this sort of natural phenomenon that's related to Ra's al Ghul. Basically, you just go in this pit and you get all your wounds healed and you can maybe come back to life. So we saw that, you know, Oliver's friend from his flashbacks was hanging around with the League of Assassins these days. So, you know, maybe that's where that is going. We will not find out. Arrow is not back for quite a while. Talking about not back for quite a while, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., this was the big one. I think this was really, for most people, this was like the craziest finale. And can I just say, Sky shooting Ward was the best thing of all of this. Sky, like, without a second thought, Sky, like, going with him, scouting out all of the opportunities, like, totally making May proud. And then as soon as he turns his back, just, like, shooting him without a second thought, I was cheering. That was my favorite part of this episode, and I was damn excited for Inhumans. But that just topped the whole thing off for me.
Yeah, the... Basically, this kind of, she's already been moving in that direction, but this almost catapulted Sky into being like proper main character for me, as in this show has properly become about Sky and not about, like, I know it's an ensemble cast and there's quite a lot of pieces to this team, but she became like the main character of S.H.I.E.L.D. in this episode, I think.
Yeah, well, I think it's been sort of her and Coulson for a while, but yes, yeah. I understand what you're saying. Okay, so two big things from this finale. Obviously, spoiler alert, if you haven't, you know, watched it. Trip, we lost Trip. Related to that, we basically have Inhumans confirmation.
Yeah, I'm just happy that Mac didn't die.
I didn't know anyone cared about Mac as a character.
Really?
See, I love really, Mac.
He seems
lot.
So big and lovable. That's why I like him.
I am Team Hunter because he's a babe.
What I also really love about Mac a lot is the fact that how he treats Fitz.
Yes.
And how he's been dealing with Fitz, especially now that Simmons is back as well, is that he's one of the few people that won't treat Fitz with kid gloves, and he's treating him like a normal person, but a person that needs to be approached in a slightly different way. And I just I just love Mac as a character, and I really hope we see more of him. But I was also really upset to see Trip leave, because I really like Trip as well. But
the thing that was most tragic about that for me was that I thought he was gonna be fine, because he started turning like they turned, and I was like, oh, is he gonna be an Inhuman too? And then no, he just crumbled and died, and I was like, oh, right to the heart.
I just hate Reyna so much. She is a psychopath. She is just nuts. But okay, Inhumans, what are we thinking?
I think this is a really interesting take, because obviously if you guys caught it, I did a little Q&A back and forth with Michal, someone else from Hyperball, about this Daisy Johnson theory and how it links into the comics and how it links back to Sky.
And surprise, she's Daisy.
Yeah. So kind of went through all of that a little bit and everything. And I think it's really, really interesting, because Daisy was initially assumed to be a mutant in the comic books based on her powers. So she has the powers to be able to create earthquakes or quakes, and she can also create like seismic activity in like people's brains and stuff as well, because she did that to Magneto on one occasion and caused him to lose consciousness. Like she knocked him out, which was super cool. It was like a super awesome comic book moment that I love. But the thing is that this kind of also completely solidifies that Sky is actually an Inhuman. So we're not going to get this bait and switch that we got in the comics that, is she a mutant? No, she's not a mutant. She's just inherited like the modified DNA from her father is how she gets her powers in the comic books. But this is solidly rebooted Sky/Daisy as an Inhuman, which is super cool for me. Like, I like the idea that she's got that connection to the wider universe, especially considering the movies coming up. So I'm super, super, super into the fact that they're taking elements of what us comic book fans might know and putting a whole new spin on it and making it fresh and making it interesting to continue watching.
Well, yeah, let's remember that they don't have the copyright to, you know, they can't even really use the word mutant. Oh, so that,
yeah, the dreaded
makes that,
M word.
Yeah, makes it that pretty impossible to do. Also, the Inhumans movie is not until 2018. So this is, talk about a slow build.
Yeah, I have a question about that. Do you guys think that this is going to impact the movie at all? Like, I was actually wondering if she would end up being in the movie as a main character or something, which I think would be super cool, or if it's kind of gonna at least just introduce us to the idea of Inhumans, then go in a completely different direction. Do we have any idea?
I think at the moment they're probably just expanding the universe. Doesn't mean it's necessarily going to be related to the movie, although I would love to see Sky in the Inhumans film, but you know, that's quite a long time away, and it sort of depends what happens on S.H.I.E.L.D. until then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because you know, they have to keep the storylines going on S.H.I.E.L.D. So like, just logistically, you know, she would have to survive until then. And you know, I don't know if this storyline, like, obviously it's a big deal, it's been a big deal for these two seasons. I don't know if this is going to be like the only focus of the show going forward, now that they've solved the mystery of who her father is and like what's up with Sky, why is she so weird, etc., etc. Like, you know, I'm assuming they're going to introduce other aspects, especially if they're going to have crossovers with the other Marvel films coming up. So maybe we'll see this focus lessen slightly in, you know, what I expect will be future seasons, because ain't no one going to cancel this show.
Yeah. There's a really, really interesting bit from the comics about Daisy, is that she actually eventually becomes the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. So she takes over from Nick Fury at one point. So it's entirely possible they could also build in that direction as well for the show.
Yeah, and her relationship with Nick Fury in the comics is like her relationship with Coulson in the TV show, for people who are not familiar. Okay. All right, let's move on, because we have so much news to talk about. Let's stick with Marvel for a little bit. We have our Jessica Jones. Kristen Ritter is confirmed. That's going to be for the Netflix series coming this year. Danya, I think you are excited about this.
Yeah, I actually really, really like the casting choice, because I didn't watch the entirety of Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
Oh, probably it rhymes, so yeah.
Yeah. But the episodes that I did catch when it was on UK TV, I really enjoyed her in it.
I hated that show, but I like her in a lot of things. I'm into this casting. I think this is very clever.
There was a really, really funny moment in one of them where she plays off her kind of friend/housemate who comes home and is like, oh my God, I'm so mad. And she's like, so mad you could kill someone. And she's like, no. It was just this really funny moment that reminded me of me and my best friend Liz, because she's so Slytherin and I'm not. But it was really, really cool. So I'm, yeah, I really like Kristen Ritter a lot. So yeah, definitely excited for this casting.
Yeah, so I'm assuming we're going to get some more casting now that that's all confirmed, and that will be coming up soon. Talk about miniseries, Agent Carter, more like Agent Carmen Sandiego. We got the first, well, another poster, which just cracks me up. Like, I don't know what is going on in this, but whatever. Meanwhile, I need to report that I bought the Agent Carter lipstick that Hayley Atwell posted is the lipstick that Peggy Carter wears, and it is really nice. So I would definitely recommend if anyone wants a really nice red lipstick.
Yeah.
I almost bought the nail polish too, but I have that color like 14 times over.
Oh, come on. So, as if you need an excuse to buy more nail polish.
Yeah. I know. I was going to say, I am not surprised in the slightest that you bought
that lipstick.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Surprising no one.
Yeah, my mum and dad made me make a wish list for Christmas, so I've also put the lipstick and the OPI nail polish on my wish list for Christmas. So I have to wait until after Christmas Day to know whether they've got it for me or whether I have to buy it myself. So
okay, everyone focus. We're talking about the first episodes. I'm not talking about Christmas wish lists. That will come later in the month. Okay, so we got the official synopses for the first two episodes. As we know, the first two episodes are going to air back to back. First one, we kind of knew all of that already. That's basically what we saw in the promo. Episode two, this is going to be directed by Joe Russo, who directed Winter Soldier, so that's exciting. And this one is a little more specific. This is about Howard Stark and some weapons, and Peggy has to go and recover them. So it's all very exciting. I'm so into this show. January 6th could not possibly come fast enough.
Oh God, I know. Tell me about it. I just really, really want it to be here already.
Everything they release makes me so excited.
Like, I even love the little Carmen Sandiego poster.
I love it too.
I want to print it out and put it on my wall, except I'm not allowed to put stuff on my wall.
Yeah, well.
Rented accommodation, guys.
Yeah, so that's, you know, and then back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. A little bit of casting news. Agent May's ex-husband is going to be joining the show, played by Blair Underwood. Anything more to do with May, I'm into. So, like, talk about one of the biggest mysteries on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yes. If we get, like, if we properly get an Agent May-centric episode, or, you know, take a leaf out of Arrow's book, give us a trilogy of episodes centered on Agent May, that would be super, super cool. I would definitely be here for that.
Yep, 100%. And then what else have we got? There's going to be some kind of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. tie-in to Age of Ultron. That's not really surprising, but we have confirmation, so that's a good time, you know?
Yeah.
Something will happen there, whatever.
Yeah, I wonder which way around it's going to happen, though. Like, is it going to be the way that we've seen it so far? Is Age of Ultron going to be the thing that impacts on S.H.I.E.L.D.? Or is there going to be something that happens in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that'll tie in to Age of Ultron, and then we'll get it filter back through?
I imagine it will be film affecting TV show, because in terms of audience, that is the way that it trickles down, not the other way.
But it may be nice to see like a nod to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at some point during Age of Ultron.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they could do that. But I don't think, like, in terms of the narrative, it's going to have a huge impact from TV show to film.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to DC. We were talking about Arrow before. Who will return in Arrow Season 3? So we know that we're getting the Black Canary-centric episodes. Then we're getting, and meanwhile, Stephen Amell, like, trolling on this has been the funniest thing that's happened so far.
He is so mean.
It's just, I laugh every time I see that tweet. It was a good run. Like, okay, yeah, mate, you're not coming back. Yeah, right. So yeah, we know we're having Black Canary. Then after that, on episode 14 of season 3 is called The Return, and we have been told it doesn't refer to Oliver or Slade Wilson, who we know is coming back. So who could it be? Big theory is Sarah Lance. Everyone would be excited about that, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know how like, they like would just... do it, but Tommy. I just want Tommy to come back.
I can't deal with Tommy coming back because even in flashback form, he breaks my heart every single time. I cannot handle.
Marima loves Tommy
so much. I adore Tommy. And that's why, like, when Merlin's a jerk, it just breaks my heart even more because I'm like, don't dishonor Tommy's memory. Like, why are you doing this?
Here's something from left field. Sin. We know she's coming back, and we know that the first three episodes are going to center around the Black Canary storyline. So having Sin tie into that would also make sense, and having her come back. She's also very, very tied into Roy's storyline as well.
Yeah, I just don't know if Sin warrants an episode title. You know?
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah, I don't know. Like, oh, yeah, we know she's coming back, but I think I was sort of assuming she would pop up in the first couple episodes after the break when Laurel is, you know, attempting the Black Canary thing. We'll see how that goes down. Yeah. So who knows? We shall see. Also, same universe over on The Flash, Mark Hamill coming back to play the Trickster. So Donya is excited, obviously.
I love Mark Hamill so much. He's so adorable and also one of the best voice actors ever. So having him come back and play like replay characters that he's played before and actually having that nod back to it, I'm super here for that.
Yeah, I mean, whatever, like, that's fine for me. I don't really care one way or the other. It's a cute idea, I guess, to like have him reprise the role, but I'm not particularly invested in him one way or the other.
See, also in my head, I'm just going, Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would be more excited about that, but he looks really old now. He looks so old. I just looked at his face. Oh.
Have you seen him rocking his, like, huge beard?
No. Time has not been kind to him.
Look up Mark Hamill and beard and okay. Just do it.
Okay. Well, this has turned into beard cast. I apologize. I apologize, everyone. We'll do that later on. Teen Titans live action TV series. They're going to film the pilot next year. Donya, I know you're really excited about this.
Teen Titans?
Yeah.
Yes.
If yeah. That nose goes up an octave, it's a good sign.
Yes. I love Teen Titans so much. And I've like given my thoughts and feelings about how I want the Teen Titans show to kind of play out. I'm just really, really hoping that it does go that way and they don't try and make it too gritty. So, yeah. I'm hoping this means that we'll start getting, like, more information about it.
Yes. Well, I would imagine so. Although, as we know, pilot doesn't necessarily mean show or that even any of the cast will be the same or anything will be the same.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a good sign. There's been rumors floating around about this for ages. So the fact that they're finally getting to work on it, that's a good thing. I have faith. I'm sure it'll be great. Speaking of in development, there is going to be a prequel series for Superman, Krypton. This is being developed for Sci-Fi by the screenwriter from Man of Steel. Is this just the thing now? Everyone just needs like an origin story because Gotham has proved that no one cares about that.
Listen. I care about Gotham. I do, however, care about Superman. Maybe not... I mean, in general, like, I don't really mind him or whatever, but Man of Steel was the worst movie I've ever seen in my entire life. And so it cannot make me excited for this television show.
I don't know,
show.
Karen. Did you watch Spider-Man 3?
I didn't, actually.
Well, there you go. You'd have some tough competition for that claim.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I would check it out, but it just seems so random to me.
Well, I'm going to check it out because it's a sci-fi show as well, and I have a weakness for sci-fi shows.
Well, yeah, they usually are good, but then they're also usually not, like, big hits, so...
Yeah, they're never, like, massive, but they're always... Like, I always really enjoy them. However, I will say, concentrate on Constantine, for God's sake, you don't need another TV series.
Yeah, so this show is... if it ever got made, follow Clark Kent's grandfather on Krypton, as he kind of turns Krypton into a great place to live or something. It's gonna be great. Who knows? Like, it's super random. I don't know. I can't see people getting excited about this. I feel like what people like about Superman is Superman. Like, people like Clark Kent. Care about his grandfather on Krypton?
This is the thing, though. Of all of Man of Steel, the parts I enjoyed most were, like, the parts on Krypton. Like, I actually really enjoyed those bits. Like, I don't remember enjoying much else of Man of Steel other than the bits just right at the start. So... I don't know if it captures that feel.
Yeah.
It makes it slightly more interesting again. It could be a good show.
Maybe. Well, we'll see. It would be an interesting one if it actually, like, went ahead. As we know, they often talk about these things for often years before anything happens. So we will keep you posted on that as it develops. All right. Let's talk about movies. There is so much news, guys. There's so much news this fortnight. Oh my God. All right. Let's start with the confirmation. We obviously, the Sony hack has been a huge story across the news for various reasons. We're just going to keep it limited to the things relevant to superhero movies and save other discussion for other podcasts. We've got confirmation that the Russo brothers are going to be directing Avengers Infinity War 1 and 2. They obviously directed The Winter Soldier. This had been in rumors for a while, but it looks like it's all confirmed because they were offered to produce the new Spider-Man films and they turned it down because they were like, sorry. Well, I mean, they probably turned it down. They were probably like, oh, what can we say to get out of this? Like, oh, no, I'm getting my hair cut. Like, I don't know. But, you know, it turns out they had a good reason because they are directing Avengers. So they can't do it. This is great news because I think The Winter Soldier is the best Marvel movie that they have made from phase 1 or 2. And
agreed.
I
disagree.
Think that the Avengers could have been a lot. I'm like the world's number one Joss Whedon fan, but like the Avengers got nothing on Winter Soldier. So I think this
Karen
is a great
was
move.
Thinking Iron Man.
Karen's thinking Iron Man.
This was just my in to actually talk about Iron Man. So yeah, my
God,
favorite
Karen.
Is Iron Man 3. So there you go.
All right. Well, you're not being invited back.
No.
Marimer and I outvote you two. Yeah, Marimer and I outvote you 2-1.
That's not fair.
Yeah, and this isn't a democracy either. I would just say, no, she can't come back. Not a democracy. Okay, so yeah, that's exciting. Donya, I know you're excited about that. Karen, you liked Winter Soldier, though, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I love Winter Soldier. I just am obsessed with Iron Man. But I really love Joss, but I've been hearing things from a couple of different people about the way that he handles the Avengers as a whole, and I'm thinking that because Winter Soldier was such a solid story that this is probably a smart move. I'm kind of bummed that Joss won't be doing it, but maybe this will bring something different to the table.
Yeah, I would agree. Okay, I'm setting a timer right now. We're not talking about this for more than 5 minutes. Big news, Benedict Cumberbatch is our Doctor Strange. Karen, why don't you respond to this first, or we will be here for literally hours.
Fair enough. I mean, basically, I say about this whatever Danya tells me to say, because I don't know a lot about Doctor Strange, and I know that she's a huge fan. I do love Benedict. I think he's a fantastic actor. I don't mind him being Doctor Strange just because I don't know that much about the character, so I'll be interested to see what he does with it, although I do understand some grumblings about, you know, wanting a person of color or, you know, somebody of a different ethnicity to kind of take over that role. And also, he gets cast in a lot of similar roles. So it would have been nice, I think, to maybe introduce somebody new. But at the same time, it's Benedict Cumberbatch. Like, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, so the reasoning behind this, I mean, aside from obviously it's Benedict Cumberbatch, what other reason do you need? But Kevin Feige said specifically, Stephen Strange's story requires an actor capable of great depth and sincerity, and Benedict will show audiences what makes Doctor Strange such a unique and compelling character. Now, I have to say, I have zero interest in seeing Benedict Cumberbatch play Doctor Strange or any other eccentric, difficult to get along with genius role. Like ever again in my life. That he's done it like 15 times. He can stop now, please. Just play anything else. Any other role would be great. You know, he can do it. I don't know why I have to keep watching him do this. Danya, I'm putting a timer on you, but go ahead. Say what you need to say about this whole situation.
Okay, I will preface this by saying I have nothing against Benedict Cumberbatch as a person or as an actor.
He has
had some pretty phenomenal roles that I have loved. However, Marvel have stepped into a really interesting area here, wherein Doctor Strange itself is kind of slightly problematic. As much as I like the character, it suffers from a trope called Mighty Whitey. So Doctor Strange gets his powers by essentially going to Asia and learning from an Asian master and basically becoming the best at it. So taking all of that culture and kind of being like the best around. Nobody's going to beat him ever. Like, he literally becomes so awesome at it. And it's so problematic, and you've seen it in like other movies as well, like The Last Samurai and that sort of thing. And it really bothers me that Marvel had the perfect opportunity to remove the problematic aspects that came from a series that started in a time where racism and being able to put someone who would have been a person of color in that role at that time, so difficult for them to get away with that. But the time and age that we're in now, they could have rebooted Doctor Strange to be less problematic as a character. And he could still be American, because Stephen Strange is like middle American kind of character. You can still get Americans who have different ethnicities and different cultures. I mean, there are so many communities of Asian Americans there that they could have cast someone of Asian descent. I know Godfrey Gao's name was in the running of like Dreamcast people that I would have wanted for the role as well. That would have been super interesting to me to have him play Doctor Strange and to take this in a completely different direction, because they've proven time and again that they don't need someone of the star caliber that Cumberbatch.
I believe Freud would have something to say about that slip.
Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch has to kind of lead this movie. Marvel makes the stars. They don't need stars to make them. So yes. I have a lot of problems with the way this has been approached, that Benedict Cumberbatch needed to kind of be the person to do this because nobody else could do it. And I've seen some really problematic responses to people saying that like a person of color wouldn't be able to lead a movie the way that Benedict Cumberbatch could.
Let's not even go into that conversation now.
I'm not.
Except to say, if you are listening to Hero Hype and you think that a person of color could not have played this role and only Benedict Cumberbatch could, please stop listening to Hero Hype.
Because this, yeah, my opinion's probably not going to improve over time. But like you said as well, I've seen Benedict Cumberbatch play this role a million times. I get it. I just think they could have done something far more interesting with this, and they didn't. They missed a trick. And I think more than anything, I'm disappointed.
Yes, agreed. I am disappointed in this choice. And hey, that's the thing. Like, I'm sure he'll be great at it, but it didn't have to be him. They could have, like you said, improved on the storyline. If you can't improve on something that's been around for like decades and make it less racist, then you're doing your job wrong. Let's move on before this becomes, you know, the Doctor Strange roast. Okay, Gotham fans, let's move on to DC, Warner Brothers. Bad news for Gotham fans. You are not going to see Detective Jim Gordon in Batman vs. Superman because he is going to be dead before it even starts. not totally surprising seeing as they have a whole TV show built around him. But that's a thing that's going to happen. I love Gordon's character, so I'm kind of sad about this, I have to say.
I'm kind of a little bit upset that we're not going to see that, because one of the things that really interests me about the Batman storyline more than anything is Bruce's relationship with Jim Gordon. Like, that's for me a central relationship to the whole thing. So a little bit disappointed we're not going to see him at all.
Yeah. Karen, as the resident Gotham fan.
I mean, I'm more than likely not going to watch this movie, so.
Really? We get it. You didn't like Man of Steel.
It was so bad. I mean, other than maybe Wonder Woman, like, that's the only thing that I'm interested in. Otherwise, I couldn't care less.
Okay, interesting. All right, well, speaking of Wonder Woman, maybe we can get you a little more excited about that. I just saw who it was and now I'm not excited. Wonder Woman, we know that Michelle McLaren is set to direct. Now we know, how do you say his name?
I don't know, because I want to say it.
I cannot say that on a podcast. That is not G-rated. The pan screenwriter is going to be writing the screenplay for Wonder Woman. Pan is also super racist. Like, okay, we're not getting into this conversation, but Pan, that trailer, oh my God, I can't even start talking about it.
It was a hot mess.
That was terrible. So hopefully this guy had nothing to, I seriously can't say his name. I apologize. hopefully he had nothing to do with it. But you know, whatever. I kind of don't care. This is just good news. They're obviously moving quickly on this now. So that's really the exciting thing, because it's not coming until June 2017. But, you know, this is good. Hopefully this means we'll get some more casting soon, a bit more information about it soon. You know, basically anything that they confirm about Wonder Woman makes me excited, because it makes me feel like they can't back out of making it. So,
yes.
You know, I'm just like, good, this is just a bit more insurance against them being like, oh, no, sorry, guys, we're not making a movie about a female superhero. So That's a good time. Speaking of casting, we talked a lot last time about how we did not want Oprah as Amanda Waller in Suicide Squad. Rumors are still going, and it seems like she is actually on the shortlist, but maybe not the top pick, because it looks like Viola Davis may have joined the film. And can I just say, I am all for this casting. This would be amazing, mm-hmm. And Oprah can leave.
Yeah, basically, because the only Amanda Waller that I know is from Arrow. I don't know if, mm-hmm. like, everybody's caught on yet, but I don't know comic books basically at all. But I watch all the movies and television shows. So
that's
the only Amanda Waller that I know is from Arrow, and I cannot see Oprah Winfrey playing that character. But Viola Davis, I think, would knock it out of the park. She's got that right kind of, like, I don't know, edginess to her, where she just sort of looks like she could totally kick your butt, and I don't see Oprah doing that.
No. No. Obviously, the problem with this is that Davis is starring in How to Get Away with Murder, and Suicide Squad isn't meant to be released in 2016, so they would have to work around her TV schedule.
Well, I'm sure if they really want her for the role, they'll do it.
Yeah, they should, because otherwise we'll be stuck with Oprah. Oh, thanks.
I really think this would be the best casting that they could get for her.
Yeah. Viola Davis is amazing. I would like her to play all roles and everything, but at least this role. This would be a good place to start.
She just plays the entirety of the Suicide Squad.
I think every episode I like propose a one-woman show of something. Like last time I was like, Melinda May, one-woman show of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, please give that to me. So, yeah, you may be sensing a trend here. Hey, I'm just saying, like, there's a great comedy series in that idea somewhere. So Funny or Die or someone, you feel free to run with that. Okay, let's jump over to Fox. Very exciting news, Donya. I know you're so excited about this, although I feel like this happened so long ago at this point. Of course, everything breaks as soon as we stop recording. Ryan Reynolds confirmed Deadpool X-Men spin-off movie 2016.
Yes. I'm super excited for the Deadpool movie anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm so glad to finally have the confirmation that it is Ryan Reynolds coming back, because I love the idea of Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. And that, like, the Deadpool that we got in Wolverine Origins was not Deadpool.
No.
So having the chance for him to be able to redeem that character and bring it back to his own, like that little clip that we got. I'm all here for that. Which was so good. Like, his voice, his tone, the way he executed every single line, like, that was perfect. I don't think they got the casting wrong in terms of how he came across in Wolverine Origins. I just think Wolverine Origins was a terrible movie from start to finish.
I think everyone would agree with you on that. And, you know, we can complain about Wolverine a little more in a second. But before we do, Karen, I am interested, as the comic book newbie resident, are you excited for Deadpool? What do you know about Deadpool?
I know that he breaks the fourth wall and that he's really funny. And that he has a lot of scars, I think.
Yeah, well, so far.
Okay, cool.
I think that's basically all you need to know.
All right, awesome. I was actually just talking to Danya, I think it was yesterday, about how I'd like to start reading some Deadpool stuff, because I'm really interested in him as a comic book character being so different from a lot of the other characters. And I've seen a lot of, like, panels on Tumblr that just makes it seem like he's absolutely hilarious. So I would be totally into that. And I think that a Deadpool movie is long overdue. I love Ryan Reynolds. I think he's got a really good comedic side, and he could definitely do this if the movie is well written and it stays true to the tone of the comics, which, if that clip is anything to go by, I think it really will.
Yeah,
I feel
definitely.
Like Tumblr at this point is basically just a best of Deadpool.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
I actually recently put together a where to start with Deadpool list for another friend, so I can literally just copy and paste that and send it straight to Karen.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
If any of our listeners, you know, were also interested in that, let us know in the comments. Danya can also share it with you. I'm just volunteering it right now.
Yeah, no,
Deadpool, the film, is actually not that far off. It's going to hit cinemas February 2016. So, you know, they kind of need to get moving on this. I think there are so many people excited about this. It's such a cult character. Everyone is so into it. And that clip is just so good. Oh, if the whole movie is like that, it's going to be so great.
The other thing is that Marvel have recently started a new crossover series with Deadpool as well, and it's Deadpool versus Hawkeye, and it is so good.
So Donya's wet dreams, essentially.
Basically, yes. Shh. God. But yeah, no, it's really, really good because it's bringing Deadpool across and Hawkeye across, and it's so great because it's making me even more excited for a Deadpool movie because now I've got him interacting with one of my favorite characters, and I'm like, yes, I can't believe I forgot how awesome Deadpool is all of the time.
Yeah. All right, so moving on from super exciting news to not at all exciting or surprising news, Wolverine is going to be in X-Men Apocalypse, which it surprises no one and pleases no one. I don't know, there must be some Wolverine fans out there, but like, I can't be the only person who is sick of seeing Wolverine in every X-Men movie.
I think that you need to stop talking for me because I love Wolverine, and you know what? I love the Wolverine origin movies.
Oh, Karen.
Oh, no.
They are so bad.
This is actually why these guys invite me onto podcasts, because I have terrible opinions and they just like laughing at me.
I mean, we already know that we're getting a Wolverine 3 movie in 2017. I just don't care about... Am I a bad Australian? I don't care about Wolverine at all. He's the least interesting of all of the X-Men. And people who listen to Hero Hype know I'm a huge X-Men fan. Like, don't get me wrong. I am so excited for Apocalypse. I just am so sick of Wolverine. He's in every movie. And he's so boring.
You know what? Okay, to be fair, I think that is true. Because they overuse him for so many things, and we definitely saw that in Days of Future Past. And for somebody who really does like Wolverine and didn't mind the origin movies, it's not that I want them to use him less. I just want them to use other people more. And I realize that there has to be a give or take there. If somebody else gets more screen time, he gets less. But there's so many cool X-Men that I'm surprised they're still milking this whole Wolverine thing.
Mm-hmm. Please stop. Please. Though I will say, if it's kind of that, like the way that they did with First Class, if they did a Wolverine cameo like they did the one in First Class, I would be okay with that. Because that one little glimpse of him when Charles and Eric are going around and he's at the bar and they do the best single use of the F-bomb ever. If they did that, I would be so okay with that. That was such a good use of both Wolverine and their one use of the F-bomb. Fine. Having him essentially take over the role of another character because you can't seem to let him go. Please let him go.
Yeah.
You know, that... Yeah.
Yeah.
I still have really, really strong feelings about the fact that they used Wolverine so heavily in Days of Future Past when essentially that whole storyline revolves around Kitty Pryde for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
I still have very strong feelings, all in caps.
I think the like funniest thing about this to me is that Bryan Singer, who, you know, X-Men director, like famously said about the Avengers, you know, the only reason that it's a successful movie is because they've put, you know, all these massive franchises together and Iron Man, like it just revolves around Iron Man and putting Iron Man in all of your movies. And it's like, dude, you literally put Wolverine in everything you film. Like every X-Men movie has had Wolverine in it. It's just the most ridiculous thing.
And that's also not true. Like, sorry, Karen, the entire Marvel Universe does not revolve around Iron Man, I'm sorry to say. Tony Stark might like to think that he's the center of the universe sometimes, but newsflash, he's not.
No, well, Iron Man obviously had, like, a huge impact on Phase 1, like, establishing the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it's just, like, we have seen with with the Captain America movies, and, you know, like Thor to some extent. I know there are some actual huge fans of Thor. It's not all Iron Man now. Yeah, I'm not saying I don't like Thor. I just, you know, most people don't go, yeah, Thor is my favorite. Like, man, that Thor, he's a great guy.
Actually, one of my housemates, Thor is her favorite.
Well, that's good. I'm excited to hear that, because I feel like he gets overshadowed by the fact that Tom Hiddleston exists.
I mean, my mom loves Thor for very superficial reasons, but
his accent is so damn terrible. Oh my goodness.
She just really thinks he's pretty.
I think, like, Chris Hemsworth maybe just... he just wasn't great at accents or something when he started doing those movies, and now he can't change it. Now he's stuck with that, like, awful Australian English, like, over the top. Oh, it's like a bad Shakespeare play. All right. So that's it for Fox this week. Now, in our usual segment of what has Sony done wrong with Spider-Man this week, that's basically what it has become. So we already have learned that, turns out we are not the only ones who are disappointed with the Spider-Man movies. The Amazing Spider-Man composer didn't return for the sequel because he thought it was terrible. So that's not a great endorsement. That's obviously to do with Emma Stone's storyline in the film. But yeah. The bigger news this week was that more things from the Sony hack. They were in talks with Marvel about doing a crossover, about, as we said before, getting them to produce some Spider-Man movies, new reboot, and now it looks like we're also going to get an animated Spider-Man movie, but no kind of crossover is in the works, yeah. Unfortunately.
And Marvel have said that if Spider-Man does come back to the Marvel Universe, then it's not going to be Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, which is kind of a shame, but, you know, I like Andrew Garfield, but everyone knows I'm Team Miles, so that would be great if that happened. Although, dear universe, like, I know everyone wants Donald Glover to play him, but he's like a 30-year-old dude. This is like a 12-year-old child. So can we just move on from that casting, please? Unless it's like an adult version of him or something, whatever.
In which case, that's fine.
That's totally fine. But like, not in his current way that he exists in the comics. That does not work.
No, very true.
Yeah.
I would be okay with Miles, but the other thing that Marvel said that was quite interesting was that if Spider-Man came back to the Marvel Universe, they wouldn't do another origin story.
Which I think is a good move.
Yeah, because they said that people are sick of seeing the Spider-Man origins.
Yeah, they are, because they're all terrible. But also because, again, like Wolverine, we've seen it all a million times. Just so sad. Everyone loves Spider-Man, and like Sony just can't get this right. Oh, okay. Just copy and paste what I said last time to now, because I have the exact same complaints about Sony.
Yeah.
Karen, do you like the Spider-Man movies? Have you been a fan of any of them?
I do. They've never been my favorite, but I've always enjoyed them. I always thought they were really fun.
Garfield or Maguire?
Garfield, definitely. Okay. Hands down. Sorry, Tobey Maguire, but I don't know. I just think they're better movies. But, yeah, I mean, in general, Sony, I feel like, doesn't really know what they're doing. They've been coming out with some really strange, like, this whole, you know, Jump Street meets Men in Black thing and the Aunt May backstory movie and all this other stuff. And I just need them to stop, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know who they're employing over there, though I could probably find out now that all their company records are online. But man, like, I just want to know what goes on in those pitch meetings, because they are nuts. Like, they have the worst ideas I have ever heard. Zero experience in the movie business, and I'm sure I could think of a better idea than, like, Spider-Man movie without Spider-Man, female-focused Spider-Man movie with a character that does not exist when there are many female Spider-Man characters who they could use who do exist. Like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, Sony. So disappointing.
They just sound so desperate.
They are. It's like, it's kind of sad, isn't it? You know, I feel bad for hating on them, but then at the same time, like, well, I don't really feel bad because they're ruining this great franchise. So
they're kind of bringing it on themselves by just being Sony. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. Okay, so before we get sucked into the depression, the Sony depression, let's move on to some listener feedback. That was, God, I'm exhausted. There's so much news this week. And as soon as we stop recording, I'm sure like 15 casting announcements will break. But hey, that's the fast-paced lifestyle we live. Listener feedback. Karen, did you want to get that first tweet?
Yes, this is very appropriate for me, actually. So it's from Cassie Drake, and she says, I loved the first Fantastic Four movie. Not looking forward to the reboot at all. It seems lame and neutered. I also loved the first Fantastic Four movie.
Of course you did.
I thought it was fun and whatever, but you know what? I'm not really looking forward to the reboot at all. I'm kind of tired of reboots, and I'm just way more interested in these other franchises that are already going on and some of the ones that are in talks right now that I don't think we need another one.
Yeah, Cassie's loved in capital letters is responding to the fact that Dunya and I asserted no one likes the Fantastic Four movies. So that's good. I'm glad they have some fan. But, you know, I think we agree with you. Like, there's not a whole lot of difference with the reboot. So what's the point of it? Although the casting is good. The casting is good. I'm excited for the casting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dunya, do you want to?
Yeah. So I'll preface this one by saying, we asked on our Twitter account for people to rank in order the mid-season finales, like in order of which ones they like the most. Maj says in order of which they enjoyed the most to kind of least, I guess, is Arrow, Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., last because I was mostly cheering my theories being confirmed, and then stunned silence, sad face. Yeah, I think we all kind of got to the stunned silence bit. And Michael's one was Arrow, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Flash. To be honest, Flash's finale didn't have as much of an impact on me, and those last five Arrow mins, ..
Yeah, preach, Michael. I feel like we all agree with you on Arrow. Although, you know, I did enjoy Flash, but yeah, it wasn't as shocking as the others. That is true.
Yeah, it okay. didn't feel like a mid-season finale to me, so I think that's why it would rank a bit lower on my list too.
Yeah.
Do we want to rank ours really quickly?
Sure. What you do yours, Dunya. Including Constantine and Gotham, even okay. though you pretend you don't watch it.
Oh God. Okay, that changes everything. Okay, Arrow. Then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Constantine, Flash, and I guess Gotham.
Karen?
I'm going to say mine's very close. I'm going to say Arrow, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Constantine, Gotham, Flash.
Okay, I'm going to say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. first, then Arrow, then Flash. And I don't watch the other two because ain't nobody got time for that. reminder, Gotham, Constantine, Arrow, and The Flash are back in January. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not back until March because we have Agent Carter in the middle. So a bit of downtime on those TV shows, which is why we wanted to have a nice long discussion about them today. Let's jump over, see what people said about episode 3. Oh, lots of people agreeing with me about Ward, so you guys can all stay. Oh, Joan kind of likes the idea of Oprah as Amanda Waller, so I hope you're not too disappointed by Viola Davis, but let's be real, who in their life has ever been disappointed by Viola Davis? Evelyn has a great idea. Can we have a show about Melinda May, Natasha Romanoff, and Maria Hill kicking ass? I mean, how awesome would that be? That would be so awesome. I think that would probably be the best TV show ever made. And it sounds like one of those TV shows that I would pitch in the middle of an episode of Hero Hype. So,
yeah.
Yes.
I think Bobby and Sky should be able to come along too.
Yeah, I think Sky has proven herself, and we all know that Bobby is the best, obviously.
Yeah. Okay, so lots of good discussion there about the Flash Arrow crossover. Keep your comments coming. You can leave us comments on this post for this podcast on hyperbole.com. You can let us know on Twitter what you think at Hero Hype Podcast. And don't forget to like review us on iTunes. That would be so nice, guys. Now I feel like we're being desperate like Sony, but just, you know, no, let's
We
no one
could
in their
just.
life has ever been as desperate as Sony. Let's be real. Karen, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you on the internets?
Okay. My Twitter name is Karen underscore Rott. That's Rought. I do write for Hypable, write about Teen Wolf and Percy Jackson, and I help Danya with Constantine. And I'm on other podcasts, not another Teen Wolf podcast with Danya, Rewatchable, and Book Hype with Merrima.
Oh, it's like a nice little family here. Okay, that's it for Hero Hype this week. We will be back in another fortnight with all of the news to catch you up on the world of superheroes. We might try and squeeze in a show before the end of December, a bit of a year in review, but you know, we'll see how we go. If not, very early January. So you can look forward to that. Until then, I'm Marima.
I'm Danya.
And I'm Karen.
Hey Karen, why did Peter Parker start a blog?
Why?
Because he was already so familiar with the web. Oh, that's
Yes.
it. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.